Good morning. I'm Pastor Jared, and it's good to see you here this morning. What a week it's been. We got possession of our new house on Thursday, and then painted on Friday, moved in on Saturday, preach on Sunday. It's a full week. So, it's good to be here. And in those times, I'm always reminded when I'm busy that how much I need to just come before the Lord, to just stop, and just to listen to His Word. So today, that's what we're going to do. So I invite you to stand as we read God's Word. We're going to wrap up Jonah. So Jonah 4, starting in verse 5 to 11. Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come over Jonah that it may be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die and said, "It is better for me to die than to live." Verse 9. But God said to Jonah, "Do you do well to be angry for the plant?" And he said, "Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die." And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" This is God's word. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your spirit-inspired word and the opportunity to come on a Sunday morning freely to sing together about you, to hear your word. And I pray as I speak this morning that I would become less so you could be more, that your spirit would move, that we would hear directly from you today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in the last Sunday of the Jonah series that I've titled God's Call to Mercy. And I thought I'd remind you of the purpose for doing this sermon series. So in the spring, we finished a series in Genesis 1 to 11. And in that series, there was lots of judgment. We learned that God had to judge, and even to the scale of a cosmic judgment. And it was an offensive judgment, if we're honest, that God goes to that level. So I wanted to counteract that with mercy. As much as we see judgment in the Bible, we also see mercy. So the book of Jonah teaches us about mercy. God goes to an extreme to have mercy on people who do not deserve it. And so we are offended by mercy. God goes to a great length to have mercy, and sometimes that's offensive. And if you were to read the entire Bible, yes, you'd find judgment, but his mercy is always more. God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And so as we close the book of Jonah, that's exactly what we see. Jonah is offended at God's mercy. And so we get this case study, an illustration really, that God gives Jonah a plant for his comfort, and then takes it away to show him, and as through an illustration, of the same kind of mercy that he had to Nineveh. God had mercy on Jonah, and Jonah appreciated that, like the plant. But when God had mercy on Nineveh, he did not appreciate that. So then the book ends in this weird fashion. It ends with a question. The only book in the Bible to end with a question, because it is pointed outwards at the reader. And so I've titled today's sermon, God Calls You to Mercy. He calls you to mercy out of selfishness and into mercy. That's 2 points. How God calls you to mercy is he calls you out of selfishness and into mercy. So it begins with the first point. God calls you out of selfishness. We see this starting in verse 6. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah that it might be a shade over his head, as though he didn't have enough shade already, to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. Notice this is the first time and only time Jonah is exceedingly glad. He is glad because God appointed a plant for him. Now this same word is used when God appointed a fish for Jonah. And the common thing for both is God appointed something for him. Of course he would be glad. Of course he would praise God. Of course he would come to God. The great tension that the end of Jonah reveals is Jonah is only content with God when God gives him favor. Of course it is easy to praise God when things are going well. But what happens when things are not going as well? Is that from God as well? There's this belief system in some of Christians that the only thing God gives is good things. And this is kind of where a prosperity gospel comes from. That the measure of what God gives you is reflected in your good things. But Jonah seems to counteract this one. And so we see that happen in verse 7. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. Notice that these things are also appointed by God. How could God appoint good and bad? Why would he do that? It is so offensive. Why would God do that in our lives, allow things to happen that challenge us in this way? The reason he's doing this with Jonah, and for that matter, the reason he does this with us, is to teach us. Let's not forget as we go through this, this is a one-on-one dialogue with God Jonah's having. God is teaching Jonah a lesson through the plant, an illustration, as a father teaching a child. God teaches Jonah through the situation. But that does not come without heartache. That does not come without challenge. So Jonah responds to this challenge in verse 9. It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, do you do well to be angry for the plant? And he said, yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. If you remember from last Sunday, I likened Jonah's anger to a temper tantrum. That Jonah had to express himself to God, and he felt free enough to express himself to God. And I made the point that we do need to express ourselves to God, but honestly and wisely and in community. But there is a sudden shift in this anger that is different than before. Jonah is angry for the plant. He is angry that what served him best was taken away. And so we see something revealed to us in the scriptures. Mercy and selfishness cannot exist together. Mercy means extending love, forgiveness, and grace when others do not deserve it. In order to show that, you must not be selfish. There is no way for these two to exist. And that is a challenge. That is a wrestle, because all of us would love to live our lives in ways that benefited us only, right? We want to have a great life. So, how do we get pulled out of selfishness and into mercy? How does God pull us out of selfishness and into mercy? So let's ask that question. How is God going to pull us in to mercy? And again, let's not forget that this is a one-on-one dialogue, that God is actively working with his people, actively working with Jonah to show us, as a father to a son, that the Lord teaches. And this is God's lesson, the end of the book. This is what he teaches in verse 10 and 11. And the Lord said, "You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into being in a night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle?" God revealed to Jonah in this case study that Jonah cared about the plant, God cared about the people. Jonah worried about himself, God worried about everyone. That's God's character. He goes to an extreme length to show mercy. And he shows Jonah, through this illustration, the reason you were so frustrated at my mercy is that it wasn't just for you. My mercy reaches everyone, even those who do not deserve it. And that's offensive. But remember, this is a conversation like a father to a son, where the Lord teaches him and is teaching us to pull out of selfishness and walk into mercy. A helpful way to think of this is like the dialogue between the father and the older son from the story of the prodigal son. I've related the story of the prodigal son to Jonah earlier in the series because I think there's just so many connections between the two. But what happens in the story of the prodigal son is the older brother is frustrated at the father that he not only welcomed the son, but he threw a party for him. That he was glad that the younger brother returned. That frustrated him. But notice that the father also had mercy on the older brother. And he came and had a conversation with the older brother. The older brother vented to him why this was wrong. But then the father says this to him in Luke 15, verse 31. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad for this. Your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found." That's how that story ends, with a hard cutoff pointed out towards us again. And for those that maybe are struggling a lot this morning, that God seems to be giving me more bad than good lately, hear the words of the Father. "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He walks with. He does not always promise goodness. But as I talked about last week when I looked at Psalm 1, the prosperity of followers of Jesus is not measured by goodness. It is measured by being so rooted in God. so ingrained in who he is that whether good or bad comes, you prosper. You prosper in your relationship with God. I'm not sure about you, but studying the book of Jonah has been a huge challenge for me. I think I knew mercy, I understood the concept, but still not the extent. And I think still, even after this, we will always be surprised by God's mercy. We will always be challenged by the length that he goes. And this, the way that it's challenged me is the way that I talk to others, even those that have mistreated me. Or maybe even the things, the greater concepts that I think do not deserve mercy, that God calls me to selflessly have mercy. So I want to give three applications. And what these applications are, is they are designed to help us pull out of selfishness and into mercy. The first application is to humbly repent of our selfishness. And I gave these applications in the sermon I preached on Jonah 3, verse 6 to 10. When Nineveh repented, they showed us the path to mercy. The path to mercy is through humility and repentance, to come before God and acknowledge the need for help. The way to tell a selfish person is if they do not acknowledge that they are selfish. All of us want things to benefit us. Yet Jesus has taught us in the way that he came to live his life, to give your life, to lay down your life, and to serve. And that is a great challenge. Let me just say that I do not stand up here and think that is not. God calls us into this radical selflessness. And so the second application to pull us into mercy is forgive as you were forgiven. I think sometimes when I forget to show mercy to others, I forget about where I once was. That God had to show me that kind of mercy in order for me to get to a place where I could worship him. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us how to forgive. And this is what he says. It's a real challenge. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." And the great question is, do we want to be forgiven in the way that we forgive? And again, this is the great challenge that God calls us into. Radical forgiveness, radical selflessness. And none of this can be done on our own. Remember the one-on-one dialogue, the conversation between a father and a son. God works with us to teach us this radical mercy that doesn't make any sense. My last application is maybe more broad and a little bit general, but I think it's an important one for us all. It comes from Micah 6:8. To do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. If you remember, the reason Jonah came to give a message, the reason any prophet came to give a message, is because God wanted his people to change. He wanted them to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. And I think the reason it's so broad is it requires us to have that dialogue with the Lord. What does that look like for me to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God? What does it look like for me to learn from him? And so that concludes the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah ends with this outward challenge. Jonah is not just some hesitant prophet in history that we get to just critique and tell you not to be like. Jonah is this case study of the offensive mercy that God goes to great length 4. Jonah teaches us the need for mercy, the need to pursue God, to understand the extent of his mercy, and to ask for it. And so before I close, I want to ask you, if you were to put yourselves in Jonah's shoes, what is your Nineveh? What or who do you not see mercy for? So before I pray, I want you to just take a moment with God and simply just express it and sit before him, and then I will pray to close. Lord, we thank you for the radical call to mercy. And help us, when we are offended at the great length that you go to mercy, to come closer to you. To not be satisfied with just looking for goodness, but to be satisfied in being rooted in your word and in you, Lord. We thank you that you are good and gracious God. I pray for those this morning that struggle, that are going through a challenge, God, that you would meet them and encourage them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand as we sing about God's goodness, love, and mercy.
You lead me by the still waters, you restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me, and you comfort me. Oh Lord, you're my shepherd, you made me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters. You restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing. For you are with me, and you comfort me. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever I go. Oh Lord, you're my shepherd, you make me lie in fields of green. You lead me by the still waters, you restore righteousness to me. Though I walk through the valley, I will fear no evil thing, for you are with me, and you comfort me. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow wherever. Surely goodness, love, and mercy will follow. With me and you come.